This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Two Rivers Cooperative, the Knoxville Recreation Center, Don's Heating and Cooling, Hearthstone, a Ministry of Wesley Life, Pella Indoor Pool, Knoxville Recreation Center, Marion County Auto Body, and Crossroads of Pella. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@knoxville.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Pella Regional Health Center, Digital Galleria, Twyla Wilson, Sales Director of Shackley Corporation, Golf Cars of Iowa, George's Pizza, Brew Coffee House and Windmill Cafe, Witten Construction, and Lighten State Bank, VSR Financial Services. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How is the Affordable Care Act likely to impact local hospitals and our health care? In the first part of a 10-part program on health and wealth, let's go in depth with Bob Cruz, CEO of Pella Regional Health Center. So, Bob, how is the Affordable Care Act impacting Pella Regional and then the patients?
Well, from the standpoint of Pella Regional Health Center, the organization, we have been trying to understand what the ramifications of the law really are at this time and what impact that will have on the delivery of care, how we deliver the care, and what impact that will really have on our patients down the line. There's a lot of that that is still unknown, and we're still learning.
And it's going to take some time, right?
It's very, very complicated. I think people talk about the thousands of pages that were in that legislation, and whether or not we know all that information. I think many of us are pretty convinced there's still a lot that we're going to need to learn. But there has been a lot of preparation, and there are some very good things about the law as well that we're working on.
And so what do you think those good things are?
Well, at the core, they're talking about having an electronic portable medical record, which on the surface, even though it's very, very difficult to actually to get done, the idea is very good. And that would simply mean that any work that I have done at Pella Regional would be on an electronic medical record that no matter where I went, that record could eventually then be sent to wherever I'm living or wherever I'd have an accident so that it would be very portable. So any place that I had an incident or became ill or there was an accident of some kind that I required care, that because of the portability of electronics, they could be able to get all of my medical information wherever I'm at and know exactly what my former health status was and be able to apply that on whatever condition I'm in at that time. So from that standpoint, it's a very good thing. But that process takes many, many years to develop. So that's one of them.
And so building that technology and gathering the data, that's going to take some time.
And making it portable. You have to understand that many hospitals have many different types of software companies that drive that data. And getting those software companies to be able to be compatible with one another so that, just to give an example, so that if we had someone that was in our facility and they were transferred to Iowa City or to Des Moines, they would not necessarily on the receiving end have the very same company that made their software. So having the ability, number one, to transport it on an electronic highway to that other facility needs to be done. And then also on the receiving end, would that information be able to interface into the software of the larger facility? Those are some of the really large problems that we're still working with.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Midtown Tire, Plum Supply, Lauterbach Buick GMC, Knoxville Edward Jones offices of Kerry Garcia, Matt Kissinger, and Adam Norris, iHealth Solutions, and Iowa State Savings Bank. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and clicking iHeartRadio Plus. It's that easy. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com in the Radio Audio Media Player. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Knoxville Raceway, Kevin Wadley CPA, Marion County Fair Association, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, Knoxville Chamber of Commerce, and the Pleasantville Clinic and E.J. McKeever Clinic in Melcher.
I continued my conversation about the Affordable Care Act with Bob Cruz, CEO of Pella Regional Health Center.
It seems so complex to me. It's like I could put up a website with my personal health information and, you know, wear the URL on a button around my neck or something. And then people could just look up Bob Leonard's healthcare if they wanted to. I guess there are security implications to that.
A lot of HIPAA, which is the requirement to keep patient information as private as possible, you know, so that not everyone knows everything about my health record. That's part of it. But also how you input a lot of your data. Some of it's numerical, but when you get into things like your EKG, which would be wave-type energy, if you have things from a CAT scan, which is now digitized as well, but that's a lot of data. And to get all that data into one spot and make it portable, you know, those are difficult challenges at this point. And that's just one aspect of the situation. I want to talk, there's some other positive things too, because I think too often we talk about the negative. The other goal of the Affordable Care Act is to make health care affordable, and that they're trying to make sure that all Americans have access to healthcare. And right now, I don't remember the exact statistic, but I think it's over 40 million Americans that do not have healthcare. And the goal is through Medicaid expansion and other means to be able to make sure that every American has access to good healthcare. Currently in the United States, a lot of people depend on local emergency rooms to be their doctor instead of having a primary care doctor. They have no insurance, but in hospitals cannot refuse care, and therefore those folks that don't have insurance really have no other recourse than to go into our emergency room, which if you look nationwide, particularly in the really urban areas, that has really flooded the emergency rooms with a lot of people that are very, very ill but have no record of their prior health at all because they did not have a physician or a clinic they attended. So it becomes very problematic in particularly larger organizations and organizations all across the country.
And so those people are going and getting that emergency room care that's very expensive when maybe they could have gotten some preventative care much more cheaply, you know, a year ago or something.
I think, you know, what we've been looking at is called a triple aim. And this really brings the whole Affordable Care Act down to its essence. The goal of the Affordable Care Act is that there was three main things. Number one, they wanted to assure that every patient had the opportunity to receive quality health care and good service. So that's very individual. The next one was broader. They wanted to improve the overall health of the United States population. As we all know, the United States has got quite a problem on its hands culturally with our dietary habits, our sedentary lifestyle, and that type of thing, which over a lifetime ends up resulting in very expensive problems that cost a lot of money to healthcare. So we need to find a way under the second part of the triple aim to improve the overall health status of our nation. And then third, they're trying to figure out how they can reduce the cost of care. So those are the three main premises if you look at it from a very general standpoint that we're trying to work on.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by The Next Chapter, Nandrotronics Radio Shack, Medicap Pharmacy in Knoxville, Sandals Lounge, Iowa Realty, Integrative Counseling Solutions, and Motor and Auto Group of Knoxville. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Medicap Pharmacy in Oskaloosa, Stan Drywall, Central College, Two Rivers Cooperative, Verduft Agency, Marion County Bank, and Dr. Kurt Vanderplu. Enjoy the program.
I I continued my conversation about the Affordable Care Act with Bob Cruz, CEO of Pella Regional Health Center.
Educating us to do more healthy kinds of behaviors is going to save money, right?
If we can change the culture. The responsibility ultimately comes down to me. Am I willing to exercise every day? Am I willing to not eat the foods that taste good sometimes because I know they're not good for me? Am I willing to use my seatbelt? Am I willing to stop smoking? Am I willing to do all the right things that we know will lead to a healthier lifestyle? Our culture hasn't been very good at giving those things up, and that's all part of this whole initiative. If it's going to work, we need to be working on all those things I mentioned in order to improve the overall health status of our population in the nation.
Well, more frequent contact with a medical professional, it would seem that that would help.
That goes to the medical home concept, which we've embraced very much on a local level here. And the whole concept of that, of a medical home, is that every person would feel as if, in this case, Pella Regional would be what they would call their home for any type of medical-related problems. At the very top of that would be selecting a primary care physician who they get into relationship with, that they visit on with at least once a year to really evaluate their health status, doing the proper labs to know where they're at and their health status, make sure their blood pressure and their cholesterol, those type of things. They know their numbers, as they talk about. And then each year, just work with your primary care doctor and his team to be able to make sure that we keep us on a healthy road towards good health.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're talking about a personal kind of fitness coach that can also, you know, write prescriptions and provide other kinds of guidance, but it's at that personal kind of training level. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, a medical home doesn't mean there's just a father in the home, if the physician in that would be the head of the household. There's also a number of other people in this medical home that the physician would work with. Basically, our dietitians and our people in PT that could help with strengthening and exercise programs and things like that. Health nurses that can walk through a lot of other kinds of problems that you might have. So it's not just the physician. He would be the head coach or the person that would start the process, but then he would hand off or delegate a lot of responsibilities to all those other health professionals to help him give me a team of people in the medical home that can help me with whatever specific problem my head coach, the physician, would say I need help with. Does that make more sense?
That makes a lot of sense. So I'm thinking, what drives it? Is it our personal interaction that would drive it? Or is it something like, hey, you know, I go in for my annual physical and the doctor says, hey, Bob, why don't you make an appointment with a dietitian? Why don't you just do that? Or is it me taking the responsibility myself? Hey, I need to see the dietitian. Because a lot of times I just want to go la, 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 and go about my business. And so they're then, you know, it's all the and I know there's a lot of people listening saying, oh, it's just personal responsibility. You got to do it. But people don't. Not everybody does.
I think that's exactly right. And I think it's all of that answer. I think each of us do need to take more personal responsibility. But I think many employers now are incentivizing us as their employees through our health insurance plans to do the right thing as well. Many companies now incentivize their employees by reduced premium payments or other types of means to be able to incentivize them to go to the physician in the first place, have the initial review, they can call it what you want, your annual physical, and from there, once the physician has that data, then he can begin guiding the process. So what starts the process? It could be your own realization that, hey, I must do something, but it could be even your employer that's saying, hey, if you want to get a better rate on your insurance, you know, which is a financial incentive, maybe we better get you to the physician and have him do an evaluation to get this whole process that you referred to started.
As I think, as you said before, it's a major cultural shift.
I think that's the part, as a healthcare worker all these years, we've seen the wellness boom come several times over the last 30 years, and many times it's failed, not because we didn't have the facilities or the know-how in nutrition and exercise, but it was mostly because it's a lot of work, and it also means many times you have to give up foods that you're very fond of, you know, to do the right thing. And it takes time and effort. And all those things are difficult for a busy population.
Well, in the workplace, though, if there's a little bit of time for that, that's quite an incentive.
And a lot of employers nationwide are trying to do just that. They're trying to provide more healthier food things in their cafeterias. They're trying to give people incentivized various ways to go out and exercise during their noon hours. There's all kinds of different things that are going on now to try change that culture. But it's going to take a lot of time to change a culture.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Sundance Realty, Extras Consignment, Pella Regional Health Center, Pella Historical Museum and Tulip Time, Indianola Good Samaritan Center, PellaMotors.com, and Laley North America. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and the Radio Audio Media Player. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Deja Vu Consignments, Bethany Christian Services, CN Life Coaching, Pella Corporation, Edward Jones Financial Advisors in Pella, and Elite Painting and Wall Covers Incorporated.
I continued my conversation about the Affordable Care Act with Bob Cruz, CEO of Pella Regional Health Center.
Anything else good with the Affordable Care Act that comes to mind that we haven't talked about?
I think those are the key things that are the original positive intentions.
And anything that you see as sort of disrupting things, impacting patients, impacting your doctors, your staff, in a not positive way.
Well, I think there's the concerns, and the third part of that triple aim is to cut out the costs. I think the government, because of the budgetary problems, deficits, and that kind of thing, is really trying to cut the amount of dollars being spent on healthcare-related issues. And right now, you know, that is making it very difficult for physicians and hospitals to be able to work in those type of economic situations. So there's the economic situation is difficult. As far as, because even doing things like the electronic medical record that I talked about is easy to talk about, but when you start to look at how much it costs in manpower, time, and just sheer cost of those information systems, all this has added a lot of cost to physicians and hospitals. So basically, you know, we need additional support if we're going to pull some of these things off in an economic time when there's not a lot of extra money for that to do, to get those things done.
Well, and it's sort of interesting is that maybe I've been missing something. There hasn't been a lot of discussion with respect to tort reform or any kind of legal settlements on, let's just say, you know, with respect to lawsuits, and because it's a healthcare is a risky business. But that really hasn't been a discussion of the Affordable Care Act, has it?
That is one that is very carefully pushed aside whenever it's brought up. And that's a very large frustration by many healthcare workers, including physicians. We all know that there needs to be quality standards, and we need to show that we provide our care based on evidence, you know, evidence-based medicine. But on the other hand, a lot of defensive medicine is out there right now. Some experts believe up to 30% of the overall cost of healthcare is defensive medicine, because oftentimes we have to do tests for more and document everything very, very judiciously, because you never know if that will be the case that will have a potential lawsuit. So there's a lot of protection that's going on each and every day that does add a lot of cost. So there is a feeling that defensive medicine could be reduced a lot if there was tort reform. But from talking to some people that are currently in high-ranking political positions, they say the likelihood of that happening is very remote.
Interesting. Okay, anything else that about the Affordable Care Act that is impacting patients, staff, et cetera?
What we're seeing, and I don't know if this is a direct or an indirect, but there we're seeing a lot of health insurance costs going up for the employers, and as a result, they're going to plans with higher deductibles, copays, and maximum annual out-of-pocket expenses. And that is something that's very problematical for the average person right now. And when they find out that when they actually need their care, that they have a lot more copays and out-of-pocket expenses than they've had in the past, that's been a very difficult thing. And we're seeing a lot more people having problems with being able to pay their responsibility, their financial responsibility of their insurance plans.
So that at one time $35 copays now is an $800 bill.
It can be that, and we're hearing also lifetime maximum out-of-pockets that can run into the thousands of dollars. And for a lot of people, that can be very, very difficult. That causes problems then for the hospitals, because then hospitals have to try collect that from the private individuals. And in many cases, those folks have a very difficult time paying that, and then we're forced to write that off as bad debt. So that makes it financially difficult for healthcare organizations.
But if more and more people have health insurance, overall you think there's going to be less bad debt?
The theory would say that's what they were hoping for. There's concern whether or not that'll actually be realized, because many of these people may have health insurance, but they may also have their own, depending on where their salaries are at, may need to pay a portion of their premium or have deductibles and copays as well. And there's concern that those bills will not be paid. At least that's been a phenomenon nationwide so far.
Okay, so let's reach a general conclusion. Affordable Care Act, by and large, going to be a movement toward the better health care, or a direction we don't want to take?
I think it was a direction we had to take. If you look at the statistics, the way we were heading as far as the amount of dollars that we were spending as a nation for healthcare was not sustainable. It was going to break the backs of a lot of our industries or make us not competitive in the marketplace worldwide. So something needed to be done for healthcare. And again, this law is a long ways from perfect, but I think back on from a history lesson standpoint that when Medicare came into existence in 1966, it was a very radical move, and a lot of people loved it, a lot of people hated it, but from the beginning, almost every year, there was amendments to that law, to tweaking on it to make it more workable, and I think that's where we're at with this law as well. I think that all of us just have to be rational about it. When we see things that aren't right, we have to get our legislators involved and see if they can start amending the law and make it so it will work. But did we need to have some kind of change? Yes. And does the culture need to adapt different types of healthy lifestyles? The answer is yes. So overall, I think we have to look at it as it's a difficult thing, but over time, it's something we should do.
Thanks to Bob Cruz for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.